I appreciate exactly what Melissa said, and it's, again, it's like she read my mind in preparing this. I want to talk this morning about joy, and perhaps in some contrast to happiness. And joy is one of those religious words. I mean, it's seeped its way into everyday language, but it still talks about something spiritual that's really kind of beyond us. And I think if we're honest, we kind of struggle to understand what joy is. Each week during confirmation class with our middle school students, we are going through the Gospel of John, and we've seen this pattern of Jesus talking about heavenly things. And whoever he's talking to, it may be disciples, it may be religious folks, it may be outcasts, but whoever he's talking to, he'll speak of heavenly things, and you'll sense their struggle to understand. And so he'll bring some common everyday explanation to bear that they will understand to help them understand the heavenly thing. So today, I want to look with you at Psalm 98, at what it has to say about joy. But then we're going to turn to a Jesus story and see how he explains joy in some terms that we might understand. And speaking of confirmation students and your families, if you're watching right now, I asked you last Sunday, your mom or dad may have been helping you with the notes in previous weeks, but we're cutting the cord today. So you are on your own. And mom or dad, if you're listening, don't help them. We're going to see what all they can do entirely on their own. They've been doing great. I wish everybody could do these sermon notes, because you kind of learn how to tune in and find the hooks that apply to our lives. But and I wish I could show you their notes. They're really outstanding. We're going to start in Psalm 98, and it is full, as you heard, both in the song that we heard and then the scriptures. It is full, like poetry is, of imagery. So you have mountains singing and rivers clapping their metaphorical hands, and it's all meant to evoke in us or help us picture what it is to rejoice, to experience joy and praise God with that joy. But you may be like me. I'm more of a math science person, so while I appreciate the imagery of poetry, sometimes it's hard to connect with that. So tucked into Psalm 98, in the middle of all that imagery, are some good definitions, if you're a definition kind of person, of what joy is and why we have joy. So it's kind of, you kind of get whichever is your Bible language this morning. You can pick the imagery of the poetry, if it helps you just to picture nature itself praising God and rejoicing, or we have kind of the rational definition approach, and then we're going to have Jesus giving an example and telling a story kind of thing. Hopefully somewhere in there you'll get a picture of this is what joy is and why we should rejoice. So tucked into Psalm 98, there are some definitions. There are two reasons for joy, for rejoicing. They are God's salvation and God's judgment. Probably not the first thing you would have picked out for a reason for joy. But let's look at that. In verse 3, talks about God's salvation. And there it says that God has remembered his loving kindness. That's the Hebrew word hesed. And God's faithfulness to Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. So and this is in the middle of rejoice, rejoice. Play the trumpets, clash the cymbals, clap your hands, the mountains, the seas, rejoice, because God has remembered his hesed, his compassion, and his faithfulness to Israel and all the earth. Remember, every time we talk about Israel and that promise to Abraham, it's always God has blessed them to bless all the nations of the world. So you see all that rolled into this reason for joy, because God is compassionate, loving, and merciful, and God is faithful. And because of that, God has sent rescue into the world. And that is the first reason for joy. The second is in verse 9. And again, this may be a head scratcher at first. It says, God is coming to judge the earth. You would think, well, maybe that's a reason to fear, not to rejoice. But here's Two things you need to hear with that. When God judges the earth, and that's yet to come, he will judge with righteousness. God's judgment, God's justice is right and fair. And God will judge the peoples with equity, with fairness. And I chose this picture both because of the imagery of the mountains and the water, but also because of the rainbow. Because back in Genesis, after the flood with Noah, God put the rainbow in the sky to remind them, I will no longer simply destroy the world in judgment. And the story that unfolds after that is with God's righteousness and God's holiness and God's judgment against sin and evil, God also comes beside that with his chesed, his compassion and his mercy. And so this psalm holds those together. Yes, there will be judgment, but there is hope in the midst of that judgment because of God's compassion. God will make a way for his holiness to be satisfied and yet for us to be rescued and redeemed. And that's the story that runs through Scripture and through the law and the prophets and the history of Israel and in the story of Jesus the Christ. So with Christ, Scripture says God's holy requirement meets God's faithful love. And that is reason, as the angels declared to the shepherds, good news of great joy, that this is all being accomplished. Well, I want to turn to a Jesus story. Jesus also spoke about joy. In John 16, he has started dropping hints that he's about to go away. This is right before his arrest and crucifixion, and the disciples are starting to get anxious about that. And in verses 19 through 22, Jesus tells them they will weep, there will be a time of weeping and lament, and they will grieve for a while, but then there will be joy. And I can just picture their faces. It's the same look I would have made at that news. Is, you know, what are you talking about, Jesus? And again, he's talking about spiritual things. But he gives them this example in verse 21. He says, whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. Why is that? It's because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. I'm going to pause for a second. I realize you can pick this apart. And you, if you have been through childbirth, you may say, oh, I still remember the anguish and the pain. But this is Jesus is giving us an earthly analogy to say the reason for that time of labor, and this is not the only time the Bible uses that as an example, is for the purpose of this child being born into the world. And there is, normally, there is great joy at the birth of a child. And he's comparing our present suffering and grief and trouble with what God is bringing about, which is, I guess, in part is the birth of baby Jesus, but he's talking about salvation and the judgment of Psalm 98. God is bringing about this new thing at which there will be great joy, and we will scarcely remember at that point what has gone before. Said another way, in Psalm 30, it talks about a long night of weeping and waiting. When will the morning come? When will this end? But then there's that line, joy comes in the morning. That's what joy is. It comes hand in hand with suffering, with waiting, with grief. But it is the assurance that a good God is bringing about the righting of wrong. That's the justice and the judgment. And deliverance. That's the salvation. That's one reason we celebrate Advent before Christmas. Instead of rushing right to the manger and the birth of Jesus, the season of Advent is that, and it's why we had a service like the one Eric designed a week or two ago. Advent is an acknowledgement of the grief, the struggle, and the sorrow that we experience now, but with the hope of what God is going to do. So that when we get to Christmas and the celebration of Christmas, it's all the more richer and meaningful and full of joy because we once again remember God is faithful, God is compassionate, that chesed of God coming through. And you may be tired of hearing about 2020, but that's our context, right? It has been a uniquely challenging year. And how much more do we need to be rooted in the biblical idea of joy, that God has us, God sees us, God is with us. And God has already redeemed and rescued us, has sent his salvation into the world. And God will one day set all things right. They're not right now. There's not equity. There's not justice. But God will set all that right. And that's what we cling to for this idea of joy. So rejoice. God is with us. God is for us. It's good news of great joy. Let's pray together.